Yes, please bring slichos if you have a copy. Okay, so tonight is the third of our four-part mini-series on Rabbeinu Yonah's Shaarei Teshuva. And like we did the past 2 weeks, we're going to try to select a theme within the Shaar, within the four gates of the Shaarei Teshuva. We'll select a theme and try to flesh out some of the ideas of Rabbeinu Yonah. Now the truth is the third Shaar is in many ways the hardest Shaar to select a theme because it's the largest Shaar. What in fact happens in the third Shaar? And it's actually a fascinating question. Why is it in fact that Rabbeinu Yonah goes on this excursion, if you will, throughout the third Shaar? But he describes the theme of the Shaar in source number one, Shaar Shlishi, Nevar Chomer HaMitzvos VaAzharos V'Chiluke HaAnashim. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I'm going to describe to you the severity of the various mitzvos and their corresponding punishments. And he does so in a very detailed fashion. Of all of the Sha'arim, the other Sha'arim focus more on themes in Tshuva. Here he goes mitzvah by mitzvah, spelling out what is the nature of the mitzvah, what is the severity of a person who fails to follow that particular mitzvah. 231 paragraphs in all, by far the largest Sha'ar. And again, mitzvah by mitzvah, avera by avera, classifying them according to various categories, and describing the importance and the significance of each and every one. Again, why this is part of Shaarei Teshuva, why this fits into this magnum opus about tshuva is an interesting question. Again, we can, on some basic level, understand why it fits in, but I will just point out that Rav Yitzhak Hutner, in his Pachad Yitzhak on Rosh Hashanah, does address that question. It doesn't seem, all of a sudden, it's sort of a shift in the style of the Shaarei Teshuva, from sort of the broader themes of tshuva to now focusing on the particulars of each aveira and each corresponding punishment. But I want to focus tonight on the beginning. Again, of this very large Shaar, 231 paragraphs in all, I want to focus on his opening words, because before Rabbeinu Yonah gets into the nitty-gritty of each and every mitzvah and aveira, and again, the punishments or rewards that correspond to them, Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about the importance of assessing our ways, in a broad sense. Before I try to analyze, am I doing this mitzvah exactly right? Am I not being careful about this particular aveira? Rabbeinu Yonah says you have to take sort of a look at your entire spiritual well-being, and to make a cheshbon nefesh. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The importance of stopping to make a cheshbon nefesh, to contemplate our ways, to look in, again, a broad sense at our behavior, to see how we're doing, to self-assess. And in that sense, it's sort of part two from last week. And last week we spoke about being open, having an ear that's receptive to other people assessing for you and telling you how you're doing. And in this week we're going to focus on, again, sort of that inner self-assessment, where a person looks inside of himself, not so much responding to the tochacha, the rebuke of others, but a person who's willing to sit down and have a conversation with himself and kind of take stock. How am I doing? Again, in a very broad sense, before I go into the details of the various mitzvahs. Now, we mentioned last week the Gemara in Erech and Adav Tazayin that says that Bizman HaZeh, it's basically impossible to find someone, and this was, again, Bizman HaZeh when it was being written in the Gemara, but all the more so, Bizman HaZeh, in our times, it's impossible to find someone who's open to hearing tochacha. No one wants to be rebuked, no one wants to be told what to do. The advantage of what we're going to discuss tonight is that sometimes when we give ourselves rebuke, when we're willing to have a conversation with ourselves, it becomes a little bit easier, sometimes, to challenge ourselves to change. They tell a story that the Rebbe Reb Zusha, Zatzal, used to have the following technique, and he said it worked very well. Reb Zusha was a big tzaddik, he was also a big anuf. And very often he had funny ways of going about his business. Reb Zusha would go to a crowd of individuals who he felt needed to work on a particular thing. He'd find some chevra hanging out on the street corners, and he would go there and he would stand amongst them, and he would start saying to himself, you know, Zusha, you need to really work on this, and Zusha, you need to work on that. And he would start rebuking himself in the presence of others. And then very, how shocking, how surprising, all of a sudden these fellows would start to say, you know what, maybe I need to work on that. As if they came to this realization on their own. So Reb Zusha said it was much easier for them to believe in their hearts that they were the ones who were deciding to change. No one's going to tell me to change. But if they come to it on their own, not even realizing that Reb Zusha was the one who was planting these ideas by confessing for his, quote, sins in their presence, it made it easier for them to change. And again, I think many of us would agree that it's much easier, as hard as it is to sit down and have a conversation with ourselves, it's easier to have that conversation with ourselves than to have someone else tell me and try to put me in my place and tell me what I need to work. So with that, we begin the opening paragraphs of the third Shaar of Rabbeinu Yonah's Shaarei Teshuva, source number two. Very poetic. We've seen a little bit of that, but tonight we're going to see a little bit more of the poetic language of this great Rishon. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Mibnesha huzar bal hatshuva l'chapes derachav. Again, before a person wants to assess any given mitzvah or avera, how he's doing, he needs to take a general accounting of his ways. L'chapes derachav. To analyze, to assess his ways. V'kam alo avonos v'chataos. To sort of, in a broad stroke, again, see, how many avaros do I have? What avaros am I involved in? Without even understanding how I'm going to change that, or what the severity of that avar is, sort of just to put together kind of a master list of my life. V'achri ashar tam cheifes michupas, huzar lachor godel kolchei michatav. After I've put together this master list of my various chatav, to know what I'm doing wrong, then I need to begin to assess how significant those avaros are. Now this is difficult because Chazal already tells us we don't know the value of a mitzvah or an avera. We don't know. We might think that, you know, this is considered a minor avera, this is considered a major avera. We might have our own understanding, and Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos and other places that we don't really know the value of any particular mitzvah. And yet at the same time, there is something to it to try to take stock, to try to use whatever information the Torah offers us, be it through the form of the penalties that correspond to those mitzvahs or averos, to try to understand how severe that particular avera is. And he quotes the pasuk that we're familiar with in Eicha, Nach b'sa d'racheinu v'nach korah, that a person should assess his ways, a person should be choker, right? V'derash v'chakarta heitev, the Torah says. When it comes to interrogating the witnesses, to make sure that we come to a true judgment, a person has to do drisha v'chakir on himself. A person has to be willing to ask himself the same difficult questions that in a court of Jewish law, the Beis Din is asking the witnesses. Livada alav kol chatoso asher chata, to become aware, to become self-aware of the avaros that we've done. Kama higdil la'ashamava, how guilty a person might be in a particular area. Ki yesh ashama ad l'shamayim gedola. There are some sins which reach the heights of heavens. V'yesh ra keneged kama chatam gedolim shakula. And there are certain avaros that a single offense of this particular avera is equal to many offenses of a smaller avera. And there is, for says Rabbeinu Yonah, where it's bolded, in the first paragraph in source 2, V'atshuva ha-gedola kefi hayos gedolim chikrei lev ve'ela. The tshuva will be commensurate to what? To the degree that a person is willing to be choker. How much are you willing to investigate yourself? How much are you willing to have that very difficult and painful conversation with yourself? How serious are you about yourself, is what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. He continues in Os Beis in the second paragraph. V'o toel chakiras otzem ha'avon, lichasos klimas panav b'she'ilas ha'mechila. Furthermore, when a person confronts his averos, by confronting himself, he becomes shamefaced, and he's embarrassed, and it changes the way in which he comes before Hashem to ask for forgiveness. V'amashol b'zeh, ki emchata ha'eved la'adonav, uba li'kanei alafanav. If an eved rebelled against his master, and now the eved wants to come to show the master that he's sincere in asking for forgiveness. Ein nafsho ala eved bilti acharei yidiyaso kovet pisho. The Eved can't begin to have that conversation with his master, thank you, until he first has that conversation. I want to give a compliment to David Schlosselberg, because he chose that seat for the purpose of helping us all out tonight. So, Shkayach, thank you for your foresight. So says the Mashal, if you want the king to forgive you, if you want that the king should take your request for forgiveness seriously, so then the master has to first make an accounting by himself, what have I done to wrong the king? And how severe is that? The COVID pisho, the severity, the weightiness of his sin. And if he thinks it's not such a big deal, so how much of a conversation can he then go and have with the king? How much can we approach the Melech Malchei Hamlachim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur if we don't think that what we're coming to is a big deal? All this time we're talking about the severity of the din and the seriousness of the judgment, and our HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, and every detail is being analyzed so precisely. And if we come in sort of with this casual approach, So then how much can a Kodesh Baruch Hu begin to engage us in that process? And therefore, what happens if the Eved shows up with this, you know, casual attitude? Yigdal ha-ketzef alav. So the master becomes, not only does the master not forgive him for his injustice, the master becomes more enraged and more angry at him. L'chein yischayev achotei lahakir otzim achet va'onsho. And therefore, a person has to stop and reflect and try to analyze and assess how severe are the faults of the terrible choices that I've made. Again, it's very heavy language that Rabbeinu Yonah is using. Back in the first shahr, in source number 3, we mentioned when we studied the first shahr that Rabbeinu Yonah spells out 20 ikarim, 20 principles that are the guiding principles of tshuva. And in the 12th of the 20 principles, Rabbeinu Yonah again writes about, right, preceding what we're studying tonight, he wrote about the need for cheshbon ha-nefesh. And he writes in source number 3, Ha'ikar ha-shneim asar, Tzarich she'yachur ve'yeda ve'yakir godel ha'onesh l'chol echad me'avon osav. A person needs to again try to reflect and to become fully aware and to become cognizant in every sense of the severity of the crimes, of the chatam, the sins that he's committed. And to think about, the Torah offers penalties. The Torah says for this particular sin, a person gets lashes. For this particular vera, a person, God forbid, can get karis. His soul will be cut off. For this, you can be put to death by a basin. And that way, when you come to vidoy, and you start clapping, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, you actually know what you're talking about. It bothers you. And you're frightened by the poor choices that one has made. A person will begin to feel and cry bitter tears over the bitter choices that he's made. That'll be frightened, he'll be humbled, again by the averos that he's committed. Again, Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak, again, not for now, but Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak again discusses what's the difference between the paragraph that we read in the third shar and what Rabbeinu Yonah told us already in the first shar. He concludes in the first shar, he says, V'yisbar ha'ikar hazeh b'shar ha'shlishi. I'll explain this more later on. But Rav Huttner again, in his brilliant and creative way, tries to read between the lines and talk about two different, perhaps, aspects of cheshbon ha'nefesh. He writes this in the Pachad Yitzchak, in Rosh Hashanah, in the Rishimos, in the back of the Sefer. But again, the general message that Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to convey to us is that if we don't stop to make a personal cheshbon ha'nefesh, not so much like last week where we listen to others, but we listen to ourselves, and we ask ourselves, what could I do better to make an accounting of my day and the choices that I've made, and only then can I begin to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch. Motzei Shabbos, we're going to begin, those of us who are Ashkenazim, we're going to begin to recite Slichos. And Slichos is very much the model for Slichos, and when we start to cite Slichos, is very much connected to this theme of Cheshbon HaNefesh. How does it work? How many days of Slichos does one need leading up to Rosh Hashanah? The Halacha tells us in source number 4. This year we have the opportunity, right? It's a weighty opportunity, but it's an opportunity nonetheless to recite more Slichos. We get an extra week of Slichos preceding the week of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah falls out early in the week. Rosh Hashanah being on a Monday and a Tuesday, we need to have, says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, at least 4 days of Slichos preceding Rosh Hashanah. Shulchan Aruch writes at the end of source number 4, where it's bolded, the Omdim Bashmuros Lomar Slichos Biom Aleph Shilefnei Rosh Hashanah. We begin Minag Ashkenaz, unlike the Svarim we've been saying since the beginning of Elul. The Ashkenazim have a practice to begin to recite Slichos from the Motzei Shabbos, the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. And if, says the Shulchan Aruch, Imchal Rosh Hashanah Bezo Gimel, if Rosh Hashanah falls out in the earlier part of the week, as it does this year, Oz Maschilin Miom Aleph Shvuah Shelefanov, then we start an entire week early. If you can't get 4 days in before Rosh Hashanah, we have to start the week before. What's the significance of 4 days? Various explanations are offered. But the Mishnah Brura, in one of his explanations, again based on earlier sources, tells us a very frightening and very empowering idea. And that is Ve'od. He writes in source number 5. Ve'od tam shekavu dalid yamin. Why do you need 4 days of Slichos as a bare minimum in order to come to Rosh Hashanah? Shekein matzinu bekarbanos shetu'unam biker mimum dalid yamim kodim hakrava. That before an animal is offered, before an animal is sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash, we spend 4 days checking it. We check it all around to make sure that it's not afflicted by any blemish, to make sure that it's fit to be offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so too, as we prepare to offer ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during the Yom Noram, we need to check ourselves inside and out to make sure that there aren't any mumim. And the Mishnah Brura very beautifully quotes, "Uvachol haKarbanos." In the Karbanos of Parshas Pinchas, what do you find time and time again as it describes the various offerings of the various holidays? V'yikravtem ola. It shall be offered as a karban. What do you find by the karban of Rosh Hashanah? It's not simply v'hikravtem, it shall be offered, rather, v'asisem ola. V'asisem ola means you have to transform it into an ola. It's not automatically an ola. You make it into an ola. In other words, says the Mishnah Brura, you make yourself. You prepare yourself. You do the cheshbon nefesh. You check yourself for the mumim, for the blemishes, to make sure that you're a worthy offering before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lelamed shebarash Hashanah yasa adam atzmo ki'ilu makrivas atzmo. We want to be able to fully offer ourselves, commit ourselves to Hashem for the new year. V'lachein kavu dalid yamin levaker kol mumechata so ulashuv aleim. We spend 4 days of serious reckoning, of checking ourselves so carefully to make sure there's not a single blemish which would stop us from returning entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very personal process. But I think we can draw a chizik from the fact that we're all going through the same process. We're all looking for ways to come to that self-assessment. And even though each person, again, in his own very personal way, has to begin this process of checking himself, of looking over the past year, right? There's something that we draw, even though it's personal, there's something of a chizik that we get from the fact that all of Klal Yisrael, each person, is going through this painful and very delicate process. There's a story, the Vizhnitz Rebbe, the Imre Chaim, from Vizhnitz, they put on a sefer called the Sarfei Kodesh. And on page 624, the Imre Chaim from Vizhnitz told the following story. He said that by Rav Pinchas Koritzer, one of the early tzaddikim, one of the early chassidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he only met the Baal Shem Tov a couple of times. Rav Pinchas Koritzer, one Elul, was sitting and he was making a cheshbon nefesh. And being the very brutally honest person that he was, he says, you know what? He said about himself, he said, you know, I'm not holding where I'd like to be. I haven't refined myself to the point that I feel comfortable with myself. And I need some inspiration. This was the Rebbe. The Rebbe needed inspiration. So he said, you know what, maybe if I travel to the Hasidim, he had some Hasidim who lived, you know, the town over, maybe if I go to the Hasidim and I sit with them, b'chabura, and we all sit together and we talk about ways to self-improve, so then maybe I'll have the inspiration and I could be the person I'd like to be. And he set out on the road to travel to the Hasidim. The Hasidim, at the same time, were sitting in their little chabura, and they were talking amongst themselves. How can we find ways? We need to mechazik ourselves. Who's going to give us the chizik that we need? We want to make a cheshbon nefesh, but we don't even know where to start. Who can help us check our own mumim? And they decide, you know what? What can we do? Let's go to the Rebbe. Let's go to Pinchas Koritzer. So they picked up and they started traveling to Pinchas Koritzer. And the Imre Chaim, the Vizhnitz Rebbe, says it was a remarkable simcha when they met up on the way. And they both felt that there was a chizik that they gave one another. The Rebbe gave the chassidim gave the Rebbe, to know that everyone's trying to find a way to come back to Hashem. Everyone wants a little chizik, everyone wants a little guidance. How can we assess ourselves to begin this process of cheshbon nefesh? So where do we begin the process of cheshbon nefesh? And what does it take to have the courage to engage in this process of cheshbon nefesh? There's a famous Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra is explaining a very cryptic pasuk that we find in Parshas Balak. Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachman in source number 6. Rashul Bar Nachman said in the name of Rav Yochanan, what does the pasuk mean? Those who are moshlim, those who tell mashalim, who tell the parables. Right? Alkein yomru ha-moshlim bo'u cheshbon. Come to the city of Cheshbon. Cheshbon was a place, a geographical location. Says the Gemara al derech drush. Ha-moshlim? Who are the moshlim? Elu ha-moshlim b'yitzum. Those who want to be moshel, those who want to rule over the Yetzirah. And how does a person begin the process of conquering his Yetzirah? Of beginning to engage in the battle against the Yetzirah? Says the pasuk, bo'u cheshbon. Bo'u v'nachshav cheshbono shel olam. Come and contemplate your purpose in this world. Make cheshbon nefesh. How can you fight the Yetzirah if you don't even realize what you're fighting for? If you don't value what you're fighting for? Hafsid mitzvah k'neged tzchara. Contemplate the loss of a mitzvah versus the reward. Is it really worth it to not take advantage of that mitzvah? I know I'm feeling tired, I know I'm feeling lazy, I know it's hard to motivate myself. But think about the potential of what's in store for a person who chooses to do that mitzvah, despite the opposition. Vischara avera k'neged hafseida. Think about the pleasure you get from that particular avera versus what you're going to lose by making that choice for that avera. And when a person contemplates these things, concludes the Gemara, he builds for himself olam hazeh, and he builds for himself an olam hava. It starts with cheshbon nefesh. You want to fight your yetzer, you want to change your evil inclination, you want to better yourself in a sincere way. It starts with a person pausing to think. That's it, thinking. Stopping to think. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest man of all. And we all know that Shlomo HaMelech was chacham mikol adam. And Shlomo HaMelech has some advice for us in the first parak of Mishlei. He says, the Torah itself has advice for us. Says Mishlei in source number 7, Chachmos b'chutz tarona. Chachmos. Chachmos in the plural. It's a reference to the Torah itself. The root of all wisdom. Chachmos. The all-encompassing wisdom. B'chutz tarona calls out to people in the street. B'rechovos titein kola. It announces a message, literally, to the throngs of people who are crowding the streets. B'rosh homios tikra. at these large gatherings of people, right? He calls out, it has a message. Bepisrei Sha'arim, at the entrance to the gates, Ba'ir Amareh Tomer. It has a message to be shared. And what is that message? Pasuk Chafez, Ad Masai Pisayim Tehavu Pasi. How long will people cling to foolishness? If you would just stop and think, you would change your ways. Shlomo HaMelech says in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Tashuvu L'Tochachti. Return, come back by listening to my rebuke. What is Chachmos telling us? What's the message? Very, very simple. Nothing fancy. Says Shlomo HaMelech, what is the Torah saying to every member of humanity? All the more so to every member of the Jewish people. Says the Maharal in his Nesiv HaTshuva at the very beginning of Perak Aleph in source number 8, HaGzeira Zos, the message of the Torah is a very simple one. If you want to better yourself, if you want to change yourself, Mechuyeves Etokol B'nei Adam, this is what is expected of every person. V'i'efshar Shenelim Zemen Adam Echad, and not one person can beat the system. You cannot become a better person unless you engage in the process that Mishle, that Shlomo HaMelech is inviting us to engage in. And what is that process? It's a very simple but difficult process. Umahu adavar hazeh, what is the thing that the Torah is offering us? What is the advice that the Torah has for us? Ki adam yesh lo lachshov al drachav. A person needs to contemplate his ways. That's it. If we take a little bit of time. My wife tells me all the time, Mashiach, we're not practical enough. I'm going to be very practical. Let's take 1 minute a day to think about our day. Let's take 1 minute a day. It could be when you wake up, before you engage in the day. It could be at the end of the day. You want to assess what happened over the course of the last 24 hours so that tomorrow can be a better day, a different day. If we would take literally 1 minute a day, 30 seconds a day, before a person goes to sleep, to stop and to think about our way. Let's say a person's very busy during the week. Bilbul Hadas, you're running around. Person has professional demands, demands of one's family. Right? So on Shabbos, you're allowed to make cheshbon and nefesh on Shabbos. I'm saying that only half jokingly, because it's brought from the Chiddush HaRim, that the Chiddush HaRim was asked, how are you allowed to make a cheshbon and nefesh on Shabbos? There's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And if you start thinking about all the things that you do wrong, it's going to ruin your Oneg Shabbos. So the Chiddush HaRim answered, he said, we know that Mila is Docha Shabbos. You can do a bris Mila on Shabbos, even though Mila is a Malacha. So he says, so too, when the Pasuk says, a person needs to circumcise his heart, you're allowed to make a cheshbon and nefesh on Shabbos. Mila is Docha Shabbos. So take a minute on Shabbos. Right? Take one less minute of time to take a rest on Shabbos afternoon. Cut your nap by, you know, 1 minute. And spend time, close the door, sit by yourself, and just think for 1 minute. It would change our lives radically if we would just take a minute a day. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, is most famous for the Sefer Mesilas Yeshar. But he wrote many, many manuals of Jewish thought, of Jewish philosophy, amongst many other writings that he has. Very remarkable range of writings, the Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in his very short life, penned so many different manuals for Jewish living. So we have a small treatise, not so well known, called the Derech Eitz Chaim. And again, the Ramchal talks in a very practical and simple and brutally honest way in source number 9. V'liyos she'akadosh baruch hu ratza she'adam yeh bal yetzer. Hashem put us in a system where we have yetzer. That's just the way it is. And yet, at the same time, we have bechira to choose what we want to do with our life. To confront that Yetzirah. To take the advice of the Torah like the Maharal told us to think, and to then have the strength to confront that Yetzirah. So says the Ramchal, says the Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the third line, right after the three dots. Halo Adam rov shenos yamav omeid lachshov cheshbonos asakav. Iskei chayesha. A person does think a lot. The truth is, as much as we don't stop to necessarily think about our spiritual lives, we are thinking a lot. We're making all sorts of calculations. Financial calculations, right? All sorts of iskei shah, things of this world. You can stand in the supermarket, you can spend that same minute, which you could have made cheshbon and nefesh at night, contemplating your entire day. You're standing there thinking, you know, should I get the America's Choice brand? If I get the other brand, does it really taste different? Right? Instead of, to save what? To save 30 cents? So we're thinking a lot. We're cheshboning. We're making calculations. Is it worth it? At what cost? We're very busy calculating. And yet says the Ramchal, again in a very brutally honest way where it's bolded in source 9, V'lama lo yasim al levavo afilu sha achas gam lezos lachshov machshavas mamish mahu. Why don't we say, why don't we put the same amount of time that we put into all of our other cheshbonos to save a couple bucks here or there, why don't we put that same koach, that same energy, that same time commitment into the simple contemplation of mahu, what am I? Why am I here? Why did Hashem create me? V'lama ba la'olam. What makes me, why did Hashem feel there was a need for me, Befrat, specifically? I understand Hashem needs the Jewish people. Hashem needs good people on planet Earth. He needs people to keep His Torah. Why me? What am I adding to that equation? Lama ba la'olam. Very simple. What does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem desire from me? How do I fit in to the master plan? And what's my life going to add up to? When I take all the pieces of my life and the puzzle pieces all snap into place, what's it going to look like? Zos hi hatrufa hayoser gedola vechazaka shetucha lahamtzi neged hayetzer. This is the greatest weapon, the greatest antidote against any technique, any tactic the Yetzer Hara will try to use against you. Because when I'm thinking, that means I'm living life with purpose. When I'm taking those few seconds a day, again, even on a Shabbos afternoon, when I'm thinking about the purpose of my life, it's a different existence. I'm a thinking human being. I'm a person who's making the cheshbon nefesh. I'm taking time to ask myself, Mahu, what am I? And how do I fit in, again, to the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the King of all kings? How do I fit into His master plan? Today was a very special day in Jewish history. Today was the birthday of some very famous people, amongst them my wife. She turned 33 today. Yurchas Elo, Chai Elo. Right? But before my wife tried to get in on this very special date in Jewish history, it was the yard site of the Maharal of Prague. Probably one of the most impactful Jewish philosophers of Jewish history. I think it's fair to say such a thing. It was also the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, and the birthday of the Baal HaTanya. The first Lubavitch Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, was the birthday of the Baal HaTanya. There's a famous maisa with the Baal HaTanya, where the Baal HaTanya was spending some time in jail, which was not, unfortunately, was not an uncommon occurrence for the Baal HaTanya. And one of his guards, one of the jailers, maybe the warden, different nuschos of the story, some important officer, came to meet with him. And he says, Rabbi, I have a question for you on the Old Testament. I'd like to read the Bible. And there's a verse early on in Bereishis that I simply don't understand. If you take a look in source number 10, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Adam, after Adam and Chava have rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikra Hashem Elokim Ela Adam, Vayomer Lo Ayeka, when God turns to man, and says to Adam, Adam, where are you? He said, I never understood that. If he's God, shouldn't he know where Adam's hiding, somewhere in the garden? What does it mean when Hashem says to him, Ayeka? So the Baal HaTanya says back to this fellow, he says, do you believe? This was not a Jewish person, needless to say. But he says, but do you believe that the messages of the Torah are eternal? That there's a message here that spans it's not just a history book. Do you see this book as more than a history book? He was a religious person, this individual. And he said, yes, I see tremendous value in this book. And that's why I want to understand this verse. So he said, this pasuk is not Hashem asking Adam for his geographical location. Give me your coordinates so I can meet up with you. Vayomer lo ayeka, when Hashem says to Adam, ayeka, is an existential question. It's a question that all Adam, of all of humanity, has to ask itself, and each person has to ask himself or herself time and time again, Ayeka, where am I? Where am I? And he says to this guard, the way that it's brought in Sifrei Chabad, he says to this guard, he says, imagine, he says, let's say a person is 56 years old. The guy happened to have been 56 years old. So you can imagine he was taken aback. I don't remember if it was exactly 56. It may have been. But whatever age he was, imagine a person is, and he got it on the dot. Baal HaTanya met him for the first time. He says, imagine a person is, and he's dedicated his life to what? To holding sweet, innocent Jews who study Torah hostage for crimes that he knows they didn't commit? Vayomer lo ayeka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you, he's asking every one of us, ayeka, where are you? What are you doing with your life? Mahu. Like the Baal Mesilas Yesharim, like the Ramchal told us. What are your aspirations? What are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Very often when we get into the mode of Cheshbon HaNefesh, when we're willing to have that confrontation with ourselves, and we're willing to have that conversation with ourselves, very often, very quickly, as we're trying to self-assess, we start to look at external factors. We start to look at all the things that are stopping me from being the best version that I can be. We start pointing fingers and making excuses. And we focus on everything around us instead of focusing on that which is within. It's interesting. When the Kohen Gadol is preparing himself to go into Kodesh Kadashim, the Kohen Gadol is undergoing this whole process, this training course, as described in the first parak of Maseches Yoma, getting ready for Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah in source number 11. Notice the difference between these two Mishnayos in the first parak of Yoma. The very first Mishnah says, Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beis, so we take the Kohen Gadol from his personal home, and we place him in the Lishchas Palhedrin. We put him in isolation, a special chamber for the Kohen Gadol located within the Beis HaMikdash structure. And he's isolated there. Says the Mishnah, two Mishnayos later, source number 12, Erev Yom Kippurim, on Erev Yom Kippur, Shachris, in the morning, Ma'amidin Oso B'Shar Mizrach, we take the Kohen Gadol, we place him by the Eastern Gate, Umaaviran lefanav parim ve'elim ukvasim kedeshi makir v'ragil ba'avoda. On Erev Yom Kippur, we take him out for a crash course, a training course. We show him the various animals that he's going to offer over the course of the day to make sure he can identify them and he knows what to do with each one. It's interesting. For 7 days, he's sitting by himself and he's thinking. And then when it comes to the most overwhelming avoda, the challenging avoda, learn through the Mishnayos and Yoma, and you'll see how busy and how challenging it is to be the Kohen Gadol. But we say, you come Erev Yom Kippur, we'll give you a quick review session. What's the difference between those 6 days prior that he's sitting in isolation and the 1 day crash course that he takes in preparing for the avoda? There's a beautiful volume called the Musar HaMishnah. It's a difficult volume to get one's hands on. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsberg. And he writes in Source 13, where he extracts beautiful ethical messages, Musar, from every Mishnah. He writes, Harei Chazina, Demashin Ogeya L'Seidur HaAvoda, He Hayamachin Es Atzma Rak B'Yom HaShvi. With regard to the avoda itself, there's one single day of preparation. V'yom Echad Hayadai Lo Lachanazo. And 1 day of preparation is sufficient for him to get ready. With regard to how he's going to do for others, what he's going to do to these animals, 1 day is sufficient. But the 6 days that he spends leading up to that Erev Yom Kippur, the primary avodah of the Kohen Gadol is not figuring out what he's going to do with X, Y, or Z. It's sitting by himself and thinking, what am I going to do with myself? And this is the Kohen Gadol we're talking about. And to prepare oneself, not again just to be able to go through the motions. And again, they're not simple motions. To carry out the avodah is very taxing, spiritually and physically. And yet, the ikkar avodah, the primary avodah of the Kohen Gadol, those 6 days leading up to Erev Yom Kippur, he sits and he contemplates his own life. And the Musar HaMishnah goes on to tell a beautiful story that's found in the volume called the Likutei Ma'ariach. In the Likutei Ma'ariach, he tells the story of a certain fellow who was a Baal Tefillah. And he came to his Rebbe, he came to his Tzaddik right before the Yom Naram. He says, I need to go home, I need to leave. I need to leave the court of the Tzaddik. And the Rebbe says, where are you going? He says, I'm a Baal Tefillah. I need to spend time preparing the Machzor. And the Rebbe said back to him, where it's bolded, the final line in Source 13. The Rebbe said back to him, you need to go prepare the Machzor. HaMachzor be'eino omeid, k'de'eshtaka. The Machzor is exactly the same Machzor that it was last year. None of the words changed. The Nigunim, the tunes that you sang last year, the classic tunes of the Yom Naram, are exactly the same tunes. You don't need to spend time preparing the Machzor. Elimutav shetayin b'masecha, v'tesadar s'atzmacha. Better to spend the time preparing yourself. The Machzor is the same Machzor. We're the ones who are always changing. We're the ones who are always in flux. We're the ones who have to take stock of ourselves. To call upon ourselves that deep sense of personal achrayis, of personal responsibility, like no less than the Kohen Gadol, who sits by himself in seclusion and just thinks. He takes to heart, who am I? What is my purpose? And he's a very great Jew. And yet he needs time to think, to prepare himself in a very, very deep way. We come to the Yom Naram as a tzibur. And that's a critical aspect of Yom Naram. But every Jew has to also come and be prepared to take a achrayus for himself. That no one else can get you in other than the efforts that you make yourself. The Mishnah describes in Source 14 the famous Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. B'Rosh Hashanah kol boy olam over in lefanav k'bnei maron. On Rosh Hashanah, every Jew passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like b'nei maron. It's not clear what that's a reference to. Says the Gemara in Source 15, a couple dafim later, my k'bnei maron. What does it mean that on Rosh Hashanah we pass before God k'bnei maron? The Gemara gives three interpretations. Hacha targimu k'bnei imrona. Maybe it means like the sheep that are passing one by one as they're being counted by their owner. Separated perhaps for Meister Behema. Reish Lakish Amar Kamalas B'nei Maron. It's like a person who's going up a steep cliff. When you get to that narrow pass, where the whole group that's been traveling, that's been climbing together, all of a sudden they have to now travel one by one through that narrow passage. And lastly, says Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kechayalos Shel Beis David. Like the soldiers of David's army, you should line up one by one by one. Says the great Mashkiach of Shlomo Volbi, in a beautiful piece, if you have the Sefer, or if you have the time to get your hands on the Sefer Alei Shur, he has a remarkable piece about Rosh Hashanah in the second volume. I'll just give you a little snippet here. But says the Alei Shur, says Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal, What's the common denominator between these three cases? The B'nai Maron, we all pass before Hashem K'B'nai Maron. Whether it's the imagery of the sheep passing before the shepherd, whether it's the person who's climbing that steep incline and has to pass through that narrow passage one by one, whether it's the soldiers in David's army lining up single file, says of Shlomo Volbe, the common denominator is that a person on some level, as much as we're so focused on Klal Yisrael, we're focused on Tzibur, but there has to be a sense of personal achrayus, where every person passes personally, single file, one by one, you and you yourself alone, passing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Writes Rav Volbe in the third to last source. Alei Shor, source 16. Bedin omeid ha'adam lifnei boro legamri levad. When a person stands in judgment, don't try to get in on someone else's merit. Bebedidus muchlatus. Complete isolation. No different than the Kohen Gadol who's sitting by himself in the Lishkas Balhedrin, trying to prepare himself as an individual to be fit to serve on behalf of Klal Yisrael. There's no jury, there's no appeals court, there are no lawyers. A person has to have a one-on-one conversation with the Creator of the universe. Ki hu adayin, hu aid, hu abaldin. Hashem plays all of the positions in the court of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein lo ami legalgel es chovo. There's no one who you can roll your faults upon, to place the burden upon. Vesmi la shim b'chisholano. There's no one to blame for your stumbling. Ki berega amdo lifnei boro bedinu ki ilu ein od adam ba'olam chutz vimenu. This is what it means. B'shvili nivra ha'olam. B'shvili nivra ha'olam has two sides to it. There's a very scary side to it, that Hashem looks at me as my own universe, where I have to stand alone. And there's something also very positive about that. That Hashem believes that it was worth creating the world that each and every one of us embodies. V'hu levado achra'i l'chol masha asa u'masha lo asa. And Rav Volbe goes on, and he says, a person who comes to the Yom L'Ram and answers the question, Nu, so what's with your life? And he just says, you know, stam, kacha, you know, I'm getting by, I'm doing my thing. Rav Volbe says, how does such a person come before the Melech Malchei Melachim? That type of person who's so casual thinks, the Tzibur is going to tip the scales. But says Rav Volbe, Chazal are telling us in this mashal, the B'nai Maron, whether it's the sheep, whether it's the steep cliff, whether it's the soldiers, the common denominator is that every single person has to take achrayus for his own life. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. It's a scary demand, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. And we can't make excuses. How often when something goes wrong in our life, when we encounter a challenge, when there's a difficulty in our life, we immediately look for all sorts of explanations. Right? Rational, logical explanations for why something happened. And very often we're scared to make that deeper cheshbon ha'nefesh. There's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hayyamud Beis. Rav Naiman in the Darchei Musar stops to analyze this Gemara for us for a moment. Just let's read the Gemara, a simple Gemara. The Gemara says in the second to last source, Rav Huna takifu le arba meya doni dechama. Poor Rav Huna. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine that spoiled, that turned to vinegar. Oh, legabi Rav Yehuda, achud Rav Sala, chasida, v'rabanan. Different opinions which group of rabbis it was. But the punchline was that poor Rav Huna lost 400 barrels, 400 precious barrels of wine. And they said to him, La'ayin mar b'milei, did you make a cheshbon ha'nefesh? You got a flat tire. So you can spend all this time analyzing what happened and what exactly got stuck in your tire. Or you could ask the broader question of why did I get a flat tire? La'ayin mar b'milei. Rav Huna, you know you're a big tzaddik, you're Rav Huna. You're on almost every page of the Gemara. You're in every Masechta and Shas. But if this is what Hashem did to you, ask yourself, did you make a cheshbon ha'nefesh? Did you take stock of why maybe this happened to you? Now Rav Huna was very insulted by that question. Rav Huna says back to them, Amar lehu, umi chashidna be'inaychu. Am I suspect in your eyes? I'm Rav Huna. I'm the great Rav Huna. This is a freak accident. This doesn't make sense. And they said back to Rav Huna, Amru Lei, Michoshid Kuchabrichu Da'avid Dina Below Dina? Are you Choshed? Do you suspect? You're worried that we're accusing you, we're suspecting you of being anything less than perfect. Are you suspecting God of being anything less than perfect? You don't think Hashem has a cheshbon? You also need to make a cheshbon. Rav Naiman was a great Rosh Yeshiva and Lida, and eventually he came to the Yeshiva Petah Tikva. We have a beautiful Savior, the Darchei Musar. Rav Naiman says, he just says, Pashtun on this Maimer Chazal. How often in life is that our response when something goes wrong? Is the immediate response, you know what? Let's make a cheshbon ha'nefesh. I'm just reminded now of a story of Isser Zalman Meltzer one time. He was standing in the kitchen with his wife, and she was holding a coffee cup in her hand, enjoying a nice cup of coffee. All of a sudden, the mug slipped out of her hand and shattered to the ground. And Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer got very serious. He had a very loving relationship with his wife. We told the story the other week about how when Rav Shalom Shvadron got up and gave Musar to that fellow about Shalom Bayis, and Rav Isser Zalman thought he was talking about him. Rav Isser Zalman had a beautiful relationship with his wife. And he got very serious and he sat down with his wife and he said, "What just happened? How did this happen?" So he said, I dropped the coffee mug. She says, No, something happened here. Something's going on here. How did this happen? So they sit down, they start talking. He says, "Tell me your whole day." So she starts going over the entire day. She says to him at one point, there was a poor fellow who came to the door collecting. I didn't have anything to offer him. I didn't have anything to give him. And I turned him away empty-handed. And he says, "Oh." He says, "That's why. You didn't give to someone else. That's why Hashem took away from you." And he said to his wife, a coffee mug doesn't break for no reason. A coffee mug, it's not just that you were clumsy, you weren't paying attention, it slipped off the table. Right? One of the kids was pulling on this tablecloth and it came crashing down. There's a reason. And therefore, Chazal, in their great wisdom, turned even to a tzaddik like Rav Huna and they said, "La'ayin mar b'milei." Did you make a cheshbon nefesh? Did you try to figure out, not superficially what happened here, but what's the underpinning? How did this come about? Not to make excuses, but just to have an honest reflection and to take a deep sense of personal responsibility for the things that happen in our lives. So I want to end with a bracha from Chazal themselves. Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Sota, a promise, a bracha. If we want to see Yeshua, if we want to see salvation in our life, says the Gemara in the final source, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hasham Ar Chosaf Bolam Hazeh. Anyone who's Sham, who analyzes, who assesses his way in this world, Zocha V'Roa B'Yeshua So Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, is Zocha to see the salvation of God. Shenamar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, V'Sam Derech Ar Enu B'Yesha Elokim. Al tikri v'sam, don't just place your way amongst God's world, but rather v'sham derech, to make a shuma, to make an assessment, to analyze one's ways. And a person who's willing to, again, a person who finds the courage to stop and think, to take a minute a day to think, to engage our own lives, to ask that question, the Ramchal rather, asks of us, mahu, what's my place in the world? How do I fit into this? To contemplate the choices that we made, and not to allow our life to be stam, kacha, like Revolvi wrote in that beautiful mimer. If we find that courage to think, and to assess, and to analyze, and to question ourselves, and to take achrayas for ourselves, then Amir Tzashem will be zocha to come to the Am Laram, and see the fulfillment of this bracha, to see tremendous Yeshua in our life, to be stronger people, to be better people, and to be truly happier people. Shkai.